What's going on? You're listening to the Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today's show is brought to you by the good folks over at meowbox.com and, of course, offworlddesigns.com. You want some promo codes? Go check out the front page of thisweekingeek.net for more great promos that you can get some pretty sweet stuff and a pretty good discount. All right, guys, today is a Friday, November 27th, 2015, and I thought American Thanksgiving was last weekend, so I took last weekend off because I'm an idiot. So here I am working on your turkey day, but that's okay because I'm in Canada. We're also having our own Black Friday, and hopefully you weren't trampled to death or caught in Get Another World Star hip-hop video, which, I don't know, whenever there's a fight, people randomly yell World Star, and I don't get the point behind that. But hey, if you can explain it to me, mike@thisweekingeek.net, I would love to hear what the hell. So anyway, guys, got a lot of good stuff coming up on the show this week. I got a couple of news stories, and I actually have a review. I'm going to talk about some toys from Playmates, as you guys know how much I love Ninja Turtles. We're going to talk about the Dimension X series of figures and two Walmart exclusive figures that you can only get there. And I have an interview with actor, comedian, writer Jamie Kennedy. He most recently starred in a movie called The Sand and Tremors 5. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some other stuff as well. And this weekend on the site, we're going to have our Fallout topic show. We're also going to have our review of Fallout 4, which I've put probably over 90 hours into at this point. It's ridiculous. I think I found a game that will consume me long, long into the winter when we take a break just after Star Wars The Force Awakens here on This Week in Geek. Alright, so let's kind of kick things off with our first story. As you guys know, I'm a huge fan of the 1980s. I am all things 80s. And one of my favorite things is Ghostbusters. I mean, there's the big new movie coming out next year, which means there's going to be all sorts of licensing opportunities, all sorts of new branding opportunities. I'm really hoping at Toy Fair next February, there will be some fantastic new toys showing off. But I got something that's going to be invading the grocery store. I'm excited for this. For those of you that were alive in the 90s and the late 80s, there was this wonderful thing called Ecto Cooler. And that was made by the good folks over at Hi-C. And what this is was this amazing green yet tasted like orange drink. It was like this, like, it was basically like Hi-C. Now, there are recipes online. I'll actually share one for you in the comments below if you want to see how I'm pretty sure it's the Chicago Ghostbusters perfected the recipe. And I actually made this a couple of summers ago. But according to Planet Ghostbusters, back on September 15th of this past year, Coke re-registered the trademark for this. Now, there's a good possibility this was done simply so they don't lose the rights to the name. But considering there's a big movie coming out next year on July 17th, this would seem like a no-brainer to put back into grocery stores. Or perhaps, maybe for theaters that have a slushy machine, have a Ghostbusters collector cup, and have a Ecto Cooler flavored slushie, or maybe do that with, like, oh, I don't know, maybe 7-Eleven, or I actually kind of wonder who's going to get the fast food promo tie-in for this, because I'm pretty sure back in the days, McDonald's had one where you get, like a Slimer, like a bike horn, and, like a PK Emeater water bottle. I'm pretty sure that was McDonald's. Maybe it was Burger King. I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me that we're going to start seeing a lot more fast food promos and just food promos tie in with Ghostbusters. I'm kind of hoping they'd bring back the Ghostbusters cereal, kind of doubting it. But they know there's a market out there for something like this. I remember ThinkGeek a couple of years ago actually had these Ghostbusters caffeinated marshmallows, and they're actually in the Stay Puft marshmallow box from the movie. I actually had some of them, and I don't remember where I put the box, which really, really makes me sad. It's probably buried somewhere in my pantry, truthfully. But it was an amazing little piece of movie memorabilia. I know my cousin Andrew, he's a huge Ghostbusters fan, is probably going to really dig this because he didn't have the pleasure of having Ecto Cooler back in the day. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Coke have this back on the shelves. I'm hoping this isn't a U.S.-only thing. I think that'd be very dumb to do that. But I realize Canada's a much smaller market. Would I drive across the border for this? Yeah, I'd probably drive 3 hours for this. I'm not going to lie. I'm a chunky bastard, and I love me some Ecto Cooler. But like I said, if you want to make this at home right now, there is a recipe down below that you can check out. Try it for yourself, especially if you happen to live in the U.S. This will be really easy for you. Highly recommend it for your holiday parties happening probably right now. Okay, so kind of moving on with more kind of movie news. This is going to be a very heavily movie-focused episode of Nerd News this week. Well, Ridley Scott says to expect 3 more Alien prequels. So earlier this month, on November 16th, 20th Century Fox and Ridley Scott had announced a title and a release date for Alien Covenant, which comes out on October 6, 2017. And the description for that movie is as follows. Ridley Scott returns to the universe that he created in Alien with Alien Covenant, the second chapter in a prequel trilogy that began with Prometheus and connects directly with Scott's 1979 seminal work of science fiction. Bound for a remote planet on the far side of the galaxy, the crew of the colony ship Covenant discovers what they think is an uncharted paradise, but is actually a dark and dangerous world whose sole inhabitant is a synthetic David, Michael Fassbender, the survivor of the doomed Prometheus expedition. So I'd like to know what happened to the other scientists from the end of Prometheus. I guess, hey, we don't want to pay you. Get the fuck out. It's It's Michael Fassbender. So anyway, so Ridley Scott this week had said there's going to be more Alien prequels, and they're going to be more what James Cameron is doing with the, like, Avatar sequels. So Prometheus is the first movie, and then there'll be 3 movies after that before it connects eventually to Alien. So if you kind of read into this, it sounds like Alien Covenant is the second out of 4 movies total. So he said this at a press conference in Sydney, Australia this past week. It's a very complex story. It's an evolution of what I did with Prometheus 1. Prometheus 1 was born out of my frustration that on Alien 1 in 1979, I only did one as I don't normally do sequels. I was amazed that in the 3 that followed, no one asked the question, why the alien? Who made it and why? Very basic question. So I came up with the notion of Prometheus 1, which starts to indicate who might have made it and where it might have come from. So now I'm going to do the next one, which is the next evolution directly connected with the first one, which was Shaw when she was replaced Michael Fassbender in 2 pieces. We'll kind of pick up there and it will evolve. Well, when that's finished, there'll be another one and then another one, which will eventually drive into the back entrance of the film in 1979. So in other words, why was the space jockey there and why did he have an alien inside of him? And those questions will be answered. No, please don't do this. Just stop. Stop. Just stop. I don't like the idea of explaining away the alien as this bioweapon placed by the engineers and how all life in the universe was seeded by these guys or whatever. I kind of like what they did in the Dark Horse comics where the aliens were bred by the Predators to train warriors, or they were just a dangerous organism. As I think it was Ash said in the first movie, it's the perfect killer. It hunts, it kills without remorse, pity, or compassion. It does what it has to. And I think to demystify that, I don't know, it seems almost unnecessary. I'd much rather have Neil Blomkamp's Alien 5 and find out what happens with Newt, Ripley, and Hicks. I don't care about David the Synthetic. Bishop was a way fucking cooler android anyway. Fuck this guy. But then again, here I am talking shit about Ridley Scott, and I don't know, just I'm not on board with this. I am absolutely not on board with this idea. I could think of better ways to spend several million dollars. So, I don't know. There you have it. Now, this actually has me remarkably excited. So, Legends of Tomorrow, which premieres pretty soon, there's a pretty big rumor floating around right now from an unnamed source as to the yet unannounced second season. The rumor is saying that the CW intends to make the series like a live-action Justice League Unlimited. And the idea is each season swaps out the team for new members. One of the big people that may be coming in is Constantine actor Matt Ryan, who played John Constantine in the original NBC show. Holy shit, am I on board with this? Oh my god, am I on board with this? They've also tapped Vampire Actor's Diary Stephen McQueen to play another actor in it. I don't know who he's going to be playing. But this is really awesome. Like, my god, if you could have live-action Justice League and have it not suck. And I'm just wondering, like, because obviously they don't have millions upon millions of dollars to spend per episode. If you had more street-level heroes or more people that aren't necessarily, like, Bush League gods, you could do so much with this formula. And that's a really exciting thing. I mean, if DC does anything right, they do their TV universes remarkably well. I mean, Flash is amazing. Arrow, consistently really, really good. Marvel is approaching that level with the Netflix stuff. Then again, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this year with the Inhuman arc has been really, really interesting. Kind of wonder if they're blowing their load a little bit early because Inhumans, I think that movie got pushed back for Captain Marvel. So, I don't know, but still, just the fact that we can have Matt Ryan back on screen as Constantine, because his cameo appearance on Arrow this season was pretty kick-ass. So, I don't know, man. I'm like, what heroes would you want to see? I would love to see Swamp Thing. Not going to happen. But maybe Zatanna would be pretty cool. There's one guy, he had a comic in the 90s. I love him because he's just a normal dude. His name's Tommy Monahan, Hitman. I'd love to see that. I think that'd be really cool. I'd love to see them just have fun with it and do something like Gentleman Ghost, even just for an episode. I think that could be really, really, really fun. So, yeah, I mean, that's really exciting. So hopefully the Legends of Tomorrow will hold up and it will not suck. I'm looking forward to them fighting Vandal Savage of all the DC bad guys they could pick. He's a pretty big one. So, yeah, we're going to look forward to that. Okay, guys, so we're going to take a small break here on the Nerd News Network. We're going to listen to an interview I did with, like I said, actor, comedian, and writer Jamie Kennedy. I did last week. Was supposed to air last week, so anything he says in the interview, just push forward to now. So take a listen. He's actually a rather interesting guy to talk to and one of the most friendly people I've had a chance to interact with the show recently. So I'm going to throw to me right now.
Stop now, or I shall use more big words at you.
Hey guys, welcome back to This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. As you guys know, I get a chance to talk with all sorts of interesting people, from scientists to actors to people in the media, and all sorts of people in between. Today I'm having a chance to sit down with comedian, actor, and all-around pretty much fun guy, Jamie Kennedy. You might remember him from Scream, but most recently he's been in Tremors 5 Bloodlines, and a movie I sat down to watch last night called The Sand, which I think is a little underappreciated gem of a horror movie because I love the concept of this. So without any further ado, let's welcome Jamie to the show.
What's up, man?
Not doing too much, Jamie. Definitely saw this movie last night, watched this via private screener, and the concept of The Sand is something I find remarkably cool. I very much get the vibe of Stephen King's The Raft, which was a short story in the very early 80s, which was remade, I think it made it into like Creepshow 2 or something. So I guess my question is to you, Jamie, how did you get involved with this particular film?
The producers were talking to my agent, you know, and they sent the script, and they said it would be a nice little cameo, and since I have some horror cred, I looked at it, and I thought it was really good. It was like, you know, what you were saying, Stephen King short, and also it had a little bit of Blood at the Beach, you know, that type of feel, and Isaac, the director, really took what I believe to be standard, you know, could have been like B-horror movie material, and really elevated it and made it fun and played on the cliches. And I think it'll be something that, you know, people will discover slowly.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies that I didn't get a whole lot of advance kind of notice about other than getting a email from somebody, but I really do agree with you. I think it's going to be one of those little gems that people will discover via it on Netflix or through various on-demand services. So I guess my, like, kind of next question is for you, Jamie. What do you like about getting involved in, like, horror movies? Like I said, you've got experience with the Scream series, but now you've also done this, and now you're involved in the Tremors franchise.
Horror fans are, you know, probably besides superhero fans, are probably the most passionate group of fans out there. I mean, they're ravenous, and they are loyal, and they are sticklers. They know what they want. They know what they hate. They're very opinionated. And I think when you can connect with them on something positive, it's great. So it works, and they really help you, and it's a great fan base to have. And then when you do something that pisses them off, so that's not an enemy you want. It's good to be in their corner. So I try to do something good, you know, when I see it in that world.
Now, one of the things that I have kind of noticed with you, kind of watching your career develop over the last, like, it's been, like, you've been around for like 20 years plus, and I've been reading about your kind of background, how you started out as a self-made person, more or less. I'm wondering, how is it like being comparing then to now? Like, basically, how has Hollywood changed?
Oh, wow, man, dude. You got about 5 hours? Here's the difference. When I started, you come out, and I'm sure the generation that I started in felt it was less special than I felt, because I thought it was very special. But it was so special to me, and it's still special, but it's different. And it was obviously probably the most special in the 40s and 50s, you know, when it was bigger premieres. It just was, you come out, you don't know anybody, and you try to break in, and you break in by, you know, finding out how to get an agent, and then going to every acting workshop you can, and going on stage every night trying to get 3 minutes of stand-up material, trying to get a commercial agent, you know, and just reading for every, you know, one line on Saved by the Bell, and just working and working and working and working and trying and trying. And, you know, that's how I started. And now, and there was a lot of movies being made, you know, and now it's only, there's a lot of big movies, but not that many. And you have a flood of people coming in from all walks of media, and it's kind of just become a hodgepodge of many things. And so I think that, you know, but there's different worlds. There's YouTube, there's Vine. That's a lot different than, you know, a TV show or a movie or a stand-up show or a rock concert show. So I think that there's just a lot of co-mingling there, and I think there's just a lot of, there's less barrier to entry, which is good, but it's also very mixed up.
Now, one of the things that you did a couple of years back is you made a documentary called Heckler, and that was very much involving critics and stand-up comedians and all that sort of thing. And because we live in such a connected world where we are connected via Twitter, message boards, Facebook, YouTube, etc., how would you say things have changed since that movie came out?
Heckler was a little bit ahead of the time to me now, because of all the hate that's coming out. I'm astounded by the amount of hate online. I wouldn't do it now, but when I was coming up in the business, let's say I was a struggling actor, I would never tweet at an actor that had two lines in a commercial, let alone a known person or whatever, and write something negative to them. I would just never do that. A, because it's just terrible business. Right, it's just bad business. And B, I know how hard it is to be successful. So it's like, how I could never ever do that. And C, I know all the things that goes on in this business. So the fact that people do that, not only doing it to each other, but they're doing that at actors, musicians, and now other actors and musicians and comedians are doing it to each other. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy to me. I think we've lost perspective, and actually shows us how petty we all are, in a way.
Yeah, because that was something that I'd, like, kind of noticed, because while doing my research for this, like, interview, I'd read some people that were saying negative things about you, but then I started reading through your Twitter and everything, and I can see that, like, there's just so much vitriol and hatred online, and it's not the sort of thing people would say directly to your face.
I mean, very, very few people have said things to my face that they would say to me online, and I am also one that have responded badly. You know, if you're in a bad mood and you just happen to launch on the Twitter, you know, I responded to a girl Saturday night, but she, like, was taking a shot at me, and I was, like, tired, it was 3 a.m., I shouldn't have been on Twitter, and I just responded. You know, it happens once in a while, but the thing is that the whole thing behind Heckler is simple, is that basically, the thing that used to be the worst thing in the world was a heckler in a live performance at a stand-up comedy show. It used to be the worst heckle. Those are now the patron saints of heckling, and the worst hecklers are way beyond that. They're these guys that have blogs, no offense to you, that think that they are, you know, A.O. Scott or, you know, or the New York Times, which I'm not saying those are the only people that matter, but, you know, well-informed. These are the people that are just haters to hate. There's the people that want to get fame through hate. So that's what Heckler was about. Heckler. But when people don't get that movie, they go, how can you compare critics to hecklers? It's because reviews now have gotten where they take shots at people personally in the review instead of just reviewing the product.
Absolutely.
So that's not a review. So, and if anyone doesn't get that, I will challenge anyone to a debate. You can't put your opinion in the review. You have to review it. You're not allowed to talk bad about the person. That's not a review. That's called snarkism. Is that word up?
Well, yeah, because that's something that I found, I did find that to be rather ahead of its time, and I absolutely agree with you that it's hard to review a product and then get involved in someone's life personally by calling them either an asshole or something, but say, no, if the product sucks, that's fine, but the guy behind it was doing his best sort of thing, so I completely get that. One last question for you, Jamie, because I know you have a tremendously busy schedule, is what is going to be coming up for you? One of the things that I want to know is, are you going to do more Tremors movies? Because now you've been established as one of the lead characters' sons. So now, in essence, you've got the potential to carry this on.
You gave it away.
Well.
that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this movie, because I looked at it and I said, oh my God, they could, like, make a whole new world here. I could be Gummer Jr. And the special effects were so good. It was shot in Africa. And even though it didn't come out theatrically, I feel like if it did, I think people would have been pleasantly surprised by it. People are really liking it. So I definitely think, you know, the studio has been rumbling that there potentially might be a sequel, which I'd be very interested in reading the script. And I hope, you know, I'm into it. I'm also doing a TV show for NBC called Heartbeat. It's like a Grey's Anatomy. It's on NBC, and it comes out in March. So I'm trying to stay busy, you know.
Well, that's very exciting, Jamie. Like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of your work in the future. Now, if people wanted to see you do, like, kind of stand-up stuff, what do you have coming up in the next month or so?
You basically can go to my website, jamiekennedy.com. I've got 5 gigs left. I've got Chicago, North Carolina, Kansas City, Texas before the end of the, and then I'm going to take off for Christmas. So you can just go to jamiekennedy.com. I have all my tour dates there, and I'm working on my Netflix special, and hopefully I'm going to shoot that sometime in, like, spring. It'll be out in the summer.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully you'll get a chance to make it up to Canada so I can actually see you perform live.
Where are you at?
I am north of Toronto.
Oh, dude. I'm going, it's so funny, I'm taking a plane right now to Toronto, and then I'm going from there to Vancouver. But I'm in Vans. But the next time I get more than a layover, I'll do an in-person with you.
That would be fantastic. Jamie, thank you so much for taking time with us here on This Week in Geek. I most certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, sir, and appreciate you and everybody. Keep watching movies.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Welcome back to the Nerd News Network, guys. Thank you, Jamie, for taking time out of your busy schedule to actually talk with me. So I really hope he keeps his word and does want to eventually kind of meet up in Toronto. Like I said, I've been a big fan of his work for a while. Really enjoyed Heckler. Really got a kick out of his work in the Jamie Kennedy experiment. And his Twitter can be a laugh a minute too, especially when people get to being a bit douchey. But I definitely kind of get where he's coming from, how there's this online sense of just people frankly being asshats. So once again, thank you, Jamie, for doing that. Okay, so as promised, I'm going to do a very brief review of the Playmates Toys new line for the new Nick Turtles, and I'm taking a look at the Dimension X assortment. So we got Dimension X, Leo, Raph, Donatello, and Michelangelo, but also we have the Fugitoid, which is voiced by David Tennant. We're also going to talk about Mozar and Lord Dreg, which are the two Walmart-exclusive figures in this particular assortment here. Actually, turns out you've actually already seen Dimension X Leonardo. You might be saying, well, how the hell? He just came out. Well, if you saw the Comic-Con figure that came out earlier this summer, basically you saw a giant version of this figure, and I'd argue the giant figure is better. It's not that these are bad figures. I do rather like the weapons with them, actually. But it's the armor on them that's a little bit odd. You have armor on their upper torsos, which does... Oops. Don't want to drop Leonardo's sword here, so I'm going to set that down on my desk. You got the upper armor, which does come off, which does feature a helmet that does go up and down, which I think is actually kind of cool. They also have belts around their waist, which I suppose you could take those off, but you really wouldn't want to. They look like they'd be a bitch to get back on, so. You have new elbow guards, but it really limits the movement of the figure, I think, and they're just awkward. Mine just seem to keep falling off. And they have, like, climbing claws, but I guess they're more meant to be, like some kind of, like, hand armor. And getting them on the hands, I actually had to use my teeth to do it. So that was a little bit more annoying than what I would have liked. But yeah, so Leo comes with his two space swords. Raph comes with these futuristic looking, I would describe them as like laser size. Donatello comes with this almost like, it looks like a big missile. But I guess it's his staff with like a weighted end at the end of it. Not going to suggest what I think it looks like, but use your imagination. And Michelangelo has, I think he actually, him and Raph, I think, get the best weapons of the line. Michelangelo has these tonfas, which, what a tonfa, think of like a police nightstick. But his are pointy. And I really like the weapons on him. Just because, like I said, it's something different. I've never seen a turtle with a tonfa, at least not since the original line, or at least not that I can think of, anyway. Out of the four turtles, I think the two best, like I said, it's going to be a lot based on weapons, is I like Raph and I like Mike, because the weapons hold very easily in their hands, but it's the accessories for the Dimension X armor that kind of hold the figures back. There's also some armor on the legs, which can also be removed. But their actual belts, they can be pulled off, but it won't look quite right. So you might be asking, can I recommend these particular figures? Well, if you're a completionist, yeah, of course. As for everyday play people, I might suggest just get the turtle that you're probably is going to be your absolute favorite. Because you can just swap out the Dimension X armor with another turtle in the line, and it will fit them, more or less. It is nice how they do have, like I said, the helmet does feature a flip-up kind of visor. That is rather nice. But I think it's the armor accessories, especially around the elbows, that really kind of holds these figures back from being near perfect. Had it been molded on and had full range of motion, that would have been better. But the fact that Playmates does give us the option to take these down to quote-unquote naked figures, I think that's actually kind of nice. So the other figures in the line, like I said, is the Fugitoid. Very basic figure. He's a humanoid white robot. He's actually got a lot more range of motion than I expected him to. He can pretty much he can do the splits and he can do high fives, but he has no bend at the elbows, but he does have forearm articulation, so he can actually move his like I said, his forearms full around. But he comes with no accessories, which I think is actually kind of a letdown. It would have been nice if you give him like a blaster or like maybe some kind of an alien, I don't know, scanner or something. I wouldn't call him a disappointment. I think it's a little bit much. I think they could have packed in something a little bit extra with him. But once again, if you want to have your David Tennant in the Turtles universe, you can now have that. But the detail on the figure's nice, though. I will say that it is a different design from the Fujitoid you saw from the original 1980s figure line. It reminds me more in line with the original from Eastman and Laird when we saw that interpretation in their comics back in the 80s. So, like I said, it's not a bad figure, but definitely I would almost consider this one more collector-based than anything. I'm just not seeing a whole lot of play value here. Now, the two Walmart exclusives, Mozart and Lord Dreg, I like the sculpting on these, actually. Lord Dreg is like this weird alien bug god. Or not bug. He's like a crime boss. I like the update. I think this looks way cooler than the one that came out in the 90s on the show during the Red Sky seasons. He's really top heavy, though. If I did have one complaint about the figure, he's mostly molded in this like purple plastic. He has no articulation in the elbows, but his arms do have full range. He has four of them. The lower arms don't have as much articulation, but they do move. But I like the way the claws are, his bigger arms have kind of opposed them. It looks like they can actually grab a turtle's head if they wanted to. Although, once again, comes with no accessories. It would have been nice had you given him, I don't know, maybe like some kind of an energy shield or just some kind of a weapon. But then again, with how big this guy's claws are, he is the weapon, so to speak. He also comes with a pair of translucent wings that are stuck on his back. They do move a little bit. You could take them off, but I wouldn't want that peg in the back to become too loose over time. I think the real winner of this line is Mozar. And Mozar is a Triceraton, basically a dinosaur soldier. And once again, doesn't come with any accessories. And this one would have been perfect to give him like a gun or something. And now I actually had some kind of a sewer gun or something. Looks like some kind of this assault rifle looking thing left over from one of my other Turtles play packs. And he looks awesome with it. The detail, the pebbling on his skin, it looks like if Jurassic Park got more badass, basically. He's a very stubby figure. Like, his arms aren't very big, and he has no articulation at the elbows, but his wrists do move. So he does have that going for him. He does have a tail, which also moves. He has no articulation in the knees because he has no knees. He's just basically, he's boot and tail. But it's the detail on this figure that looks awesome. In fact, you could probably army build with like these guys. If you wanted to paint different kind of details on them, you could definitely do that. And if you could get weapons that would fit this scale of figure, I think you could actually have something really, really impressive here. So out of the figures from the Dimension X assortment, I really think the real winners are the Walmart exclusives. Lord Dreg is a great looking bad guy figure. Mozart is a great looking soldier. As for the other figures in the line, like I said, pick your favorite. And the Fujitoid's basically going to be, do you care? But that's all I can really say about these. I mean, it's a pretty solid assortment, but it's going to be one of those things where, what do you want out of it? And like I said, if you're going to pick up any of these figures, recommend the two Walmart exclusives. That's Lord Dreg and Mozart. I think they are some of the best bad guys I've seen in a while. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. I'm really glad you listened to me rap about turtles for a couple of minutes here. I'm really glad to talk about it. So next week, you will have the Twig Holiday Gift Guide going live on December 1st, because normally I do it on December 12th, but you know what? I want to get this out there, so I got some really cool stuff. I got the game's Vanguard Personal Gaming Environment. I'll be talking about the chair from DX Racer, the King series of PC gaming chairs. And I'm going to have a lot of video games, some toys, some movies in there, stuff I think you should check out, stuff I've enjoyed over the past year, and something that hopefully you and your family will enjoy. So anyway, guys, for ThisWeekInGeek.net, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it!
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.